what page did you say that was on? 517? Yeah, let's stand and sing that together, okay? Just sing as if you're singing to the Lord. Let's do the first, second, and last verse. I want you to look there at that chorus, especially on this. O Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, as on thy highest mount I stand, I look away across the sea where mansions are prepared for me, and view the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, as You always are here to guide us and encourage us. As we look at this song and the words, Father, it encourages us. We have a place to look forward to. As we leave this life, we are promised another, as long as we know Jesus Christ. You have prepared a mansion for us, although we don't deserve it. Lord, you've prepared a place for us, sweet Beulah land, a place that we've never seen yet. We've read about it a little bit, but Father, I just pray that you will encourage us this morning as we think about our heavenly home and how we need to work until we get there. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your love. And we ask these things in Christ's name this morning. Amen. Yeah, I heard this song the other day, and who's the guy? Squire Parsons is the one that sang Sweet Beulah Land, and I'm sure some of you have heard that. It's a really nice song, and it is very encouraging. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me, if you will, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll look at verses 1 through 8 for right now. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, it is God who has made us to this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And here's the good part. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Let me ask you something. Do you ever get tired? Do you ever get discouraged? Have you ever been homesick? Now, I tell you what. First time I was ever away from my mom and dad, I went to church camp down in the sticks of Cowan, West Virginia. And I tell you what, when you're away from home, and you've never been away before, and you're there for 4 or 5 days, you start getting a little bit homesick, you know? At camp, the food is okay, but it's not mom cooking, you know? And you sleep at that camp. We had to sleep in different buildings, and you're sleeping in bunk beds and all this stuff, and little, and guys mess with you. They put rocks in your bed and little things like that. You know, it's just not home. And you get homesick. In Revelation chapter 21, it gives us a description of a few things about heaven. And heaven is our eternal home, is it not? And we need to look forward to that. But in Revelation, it talks about different things that we'll see there. Walls of jasper, city made of gold, and the foundations of the city are made of every kind of precious stone. And the thing that kind of cracks me up is, as we look at that, all the precious stones and metals and all this stuff that we think are wonderful here on earth, God uses them as building materials. Streets of gold, can you imagine? Now, I live in Boaz, which is just down the road from Williamstown a little bit. If you walk in Williamstown and you walk on some of the sidewalks, you better be looking down sometimes because they're uneven. You'll fall down and bust your little whatever, but you got to be careful where you're walking. And I know that when we get to heaven, we don't have to worry about stuff like that. It's going to be wonderful. But I want to give you a few reasons this morning, a few things we need to do. It's an okay thing as we get older, as we get tired. And I tell you what, this is me on some day, well, just about every day, because I'm a cancer patient, and cancer has done a few things to me. It's made me an old man. Now, that's not the only thing it's made me an old man. Age has a little bit to do with it, too. But I wake up, and my back hurts, my legs hurt, my feet hurt. Anybody have those problems, too? Yeah. Well, you know, as we get older, it's getting tougher to serve God, you know. I have good days and bad days. I'm sure you guys do, too. But I want to encourage you, and the good Lord wants to encourage you this morning, keep doing what you're doing until the Lord calls us home. We need to encourage each other and help each other with that, though, because as you stand back there and you watch people come in and out the door, yeah, almost all of you are smiling when you come in. But, you know, if we were to sit down here and say, okay, what are all your ailments this morning? Man, we'd be here for a long time, wouldn't we? Yeah. Jesus tells us a lot of good things. In John 15, verses 18 to 19, he tells us this. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, I would love you as it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. You know, have you ever had people just harass you at work for being a Christian? Maybe at work, maybe your neighbors, maybe some of your family, you know? There's been times when, you know, in my life, there's been times when people would give me a hard time. Especially when I went to work up at the power plant up in Pleasance County, that there were people up there with, I mean, I think they were looking for me to say something, to do something wrong, you know, because we Christians, we're not supposed to mess up, are we, as far as the world looks at us. But when we do, boy, they give us a hard time. Have you ever been hated? Even for no reason sometimes. You ever felt out of place? Well, there's a reason for this. The Bible tells us, and David in the Psalms also tells us, that we are aliens. Now, you don't have to look like an alien. Nobody, is anybody here change shape or form when you go home? Nah, probably not. But we are aliens in this world, amen? This place is not our home. It's only our temporary place. We're just passing through. And we need to understand, though, that there are things for us to do while we're here. You know, in the Great Commission, he tells us that we're to go into all the world, to baptize those that are saved, to teach people the teachings of Jesus Christ. These are the important things that we're supposed to do. And there are a lot of you here today that have been doing things like this for a long time, you know? And there are days, I mean, if we're honest with each other, there are days when we'll all say, man, do I have to go back down there and load up the trucks down there with food for people as I hand out people, hand people food and do all these things? Do I have to teach Sunday school today? You know, what if we're honest with each other, we get tired. Didn't hear an amen, but yeah, I know. I know we do. You know, and the good Lord understands that we're like that as well. You know? We're not perfect. We're not like the Old Testament people that lived to be 300 or 400 years old. Well, I don't know if I'd want to be that well old or not. You know? But while we're here, we're to be carrying out the job that Jesus wants us to do. Amen? And I don't know all the different jobs that you do. I know many of you have been serving probably as Sunday school teachers, as deacons or trustees or whatever for a long time. And I commend you for that. But you know what? It's just like the scripture was saying here. We long to be in heaven. Paul said, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he looked forward to that. We do too. But until that happens, we need to keep working. We need to keep our nose to the grindstone. We need to be doing what God asks us to do. We need to go out into the world. We need to be telling people about Jesus Christ and His love. It's not always easy. But we're also told to encourage, exhort, comfort, and pray for one another. To help and to share with others. Lift each other up. You know, one of the good things that I think is really nice is that on your bulletin, you know, on the back there, you have a list of people that you need to be praying for. I had a buddy of mine one time, a minister friend, and he told me, he said, Scott, he said, and this is when I was going through some of my stem cell transplant. And I tell you what, buddy, I was just tired, wore out. It was really hard for several months. And he told me, he said, I know you can't always be at church. I know you can't do a lot of visiting and stuff like you used to do and stuff. He said, the one thing that I wish you would do, and I know you can do it, and he said, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for the church. I want you to pray for those that are sick, those that are in need. And he said, I want you to pray for me. Let me ask you this morning. Are you praying for the people, the man that is your candidate? Are you praying for that person? Are you praying and asking God to have His will to help you pick the right man to be your minister here? You need to be. You need to be praying about that. You need to be praying not only about that, but you also need to be praying for the people in this community that need Jesus Christ. People that need help. And I know it gets tough. there was one gentleman that I used to go to church with there at Williamstown that he worked in the food pantry there. And his deal was to go around and ask different churches in the community supply bread for our, you know, hanging out for every month when they, you know, have their, they share their food and stuff in the food pantry. And he would tell me every once in a while, he said, boy, Scott, he said, sometimes, he said, I practically have to go in people's houses and drag this bread out. He said, people aren't giving like they used to. And that, he said, it's tough. He said, you wouldn't think that just giving a little bit of bread would be a big deal. But we as people, we as Christians, we as God's people, we need to be encouraged. Amen? We really do. And it's tough sometimes. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24, 25, it tells us this. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. He is trying to encourage us. Let's stick together. Let's do these things. You know? Let's be organized. Let's do what God wants us to do. Because when we serve God, when we serve the people in our communities, and we tell them about Jesus, it makes God happy. You want to make God happy? I don't know if I ever told you this in the few times I've been out here, but one of the things that I really like, my daughter got me a picture of Jesus. It was several years ago. But this picture of Jesus, it shows him, it's just a headshot, but his head is tilted back a little bit, and he's laughing. I tell you what, that's the way I like to think of my Jesus. He laughs, and I know he has to laugh at us, at some of the things that we do, you know? Because, and there's a commercial on TV now, and it shows young people serving different people in the community, and it says, Jesus gets us. He understands us. And he understands that we need to be encouraged. I know we get tired. I know it's tough. I was telling Joe that I said, you know, trying to get things ready for winter around the house. And yesterday I was doing things, you know, and by the end of the day, I was tired. I had no problem going to sleep last night. Buddy, I was wore out. And it's not that I'm an old man. Well, I am kind of. But, you know, we do things and we don't have the stamina that we used to have. I saw a commercial there last night and I thought it was about this 5-hour energy drink. I don't know if you hear. That sounded pretty darn good. You know? Or maybe I need to get me a jar of it, you know? But one thing that I am convinced of, and that is, as God leaves us here, and we're in his church, and we're trying to serve him, if God is in it, it'll work. And if God is in it, he will give you the strength. What does the Bible say? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. That's what we need to rely on. And it doesn't hurt anything during the day if you ask God for strength, for wisdom, for understanding, all these things. Spur one another on. That's what we need to do. Encourage each other. I want to share a story with you here. In her book called Living with Love, Josephine Robertson tells a story. Back in 1883, a youthful clergyman, the Reverend Joe Roberts, arrived by stagecoach in a blizzard to minister to the Indians of Wyoming. This great wild area had been assigned to the Protestant Episcopal Church by President Grant. And soon after Joe Roberts arrived, the son of the chief in that area was shot by a soldier in a brawl, and Chief Washaki vowed to kill the first white man he ever met. And since this might mean the start of a long, bloody feud, young Roberts decided he was going to take action. Seeking out the teepee 15 miles away in the mountains, he stood outside and called the chief's name. And when Washaki appeared, Roberts opened his shirt and he said, I have heard of your vow, and I know that the other white men have families, and I am alone. Kill me instead. Can you imagine? What bravery. The chief was amazed and motioned him into his tent. He said, how do you have so much courage? Joe Roberts told him about Jesus, told him about his death and his resurrection and his teachings, and they talked for about 2 hours. When Joe left, the chief of the Shoshones had renounced his vow to kill, and he became a Christian. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the power of God does amazing things, does it not? Well, Shockey had seen the love in action. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this. When you are serving in your church, when you're serving in your community, and we're not asking you to go out there and ask people to kill you, you know, but God is asking us, as his people, he's asking us to continue to do the work that needs to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not always easy. It's not always fun. But it is necessary. One of the things that I try to tell people, I just got reacquainted with a friend of mine that lives up in Waverly. And he turns wood. I like to turn wood and make things. Make more sawdust than anything else. But I got reacquainted with him the other day, and the thing that God has placed on my heart is to talk to him about Jesus. Now, I'm not going to go beat him over the head with my Bible, you know. I'm going to spend some time with him. I'm going to maybe do some work with him. You know, I can tell him about what Jesus has done for me. I'm going to try to introduce him to Jesus Christ. You see, it takes us, you and I, it takes, we have to get right in there with people. We have to get right in the mix of them. We need to show people the love of Christ. We need to encourage them that the way to live is with Jesus. That's the best life. There's an old song. Maybe some of you have heard this. Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play. Where seldom is heard a discouraging word. And the skies are not cloudy all day. Yes, I didn't really sing that, I would say. But wouldn't that be a great place to be? No discouraging words? My lands, that would be great. Maybe there are times when you're discouraged. Maybe there are times when you know somebody else in this church or in the community. Maybe that person or persons, maybe they're discouraged. Maybe you are the one that needs to be used by God to encourage them to come to church, to get back into church, whatever the situation may be. My wife knows a lady that... I'm not going to give her name, but I just wish you'd pray for her. This lady is, she's not very old, so I think she's only in her 30s. Anyhow, she is married, but her and her husband are separated. And because she is separated, she feels like she can't go back to church. Well, my wife has talked to her about that. That's not right. You see, one of the things that the old devil wants to do is he wants to discourage you not. He's really trying to discourage this young lady. She says she can't go to church, you know. She doesn't, nothing like that. She didn't want to go to church or do anything like that. And I don't understand that. But there again, we are the ones that Christ uses to encourage these people. But I tell you what, some of the people that you and I have to deal with, kind of hard-headed. I don't know, a lot of Baptists are all hard-headed anyhow, but, you know, guys, we need to be praying for people like this. Amen? And I urge you to do this, to pray for this young lady, so that she will see that she needs to get back in God's church so that she can be encouraged. Encouragement is like a soothing salve on a fresh sunburn. Encouragement is God's vitamin to perk us up, to get us going. Encouragement is the antibiotic to fight the infection of the old devil. There are a lot of things that we can do and say. We need to, until Christ comes back, until Christ calls us home, we still have a job to do, amen? We still need to be busy. But I'm here this morning, and I feel that one of the things that the Lord wants me to do is to encourage you to keep serving Him. This church does a lot of good things in this community. I know you've had your ups and downs, and I tell you what, trying to find a pastor takes a while, and it's not easy. But I want to encourage you, keep your eyes on the prize, as the Bible says. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep doing what He wants you to do. You will be blessed. And when He calls you home, this is one of the things I look forward to, is that when we stand before Jesus one of these days, He's going to look at us and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are so kind to us. And You encourage us. And You remind us, Father, that this world is not our home. That one of these days we will be with You. But Father, we pray and ask that You would guide us and give us strength and knowledge on knowing how to serve You and our community, to reach out to those that need Jesus Christ. Father, encourage us through Your Spirit and through Your Word. And we love You and ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. And amen.